If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
From Postcard from the Past and Wardour Studios, this is Series 2 of Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. Like a holidaymaker returning to the same caravan park, the same bed and breakfast, or the same campsite or luxury hotel, we're back. Did you get my postcard? As ever, this is the podcast where we lay our picture postcards on the table and try to look beyond impossibly blue skies, frilly flamenco dresses and sinister good luck cats to try to make sense of the messages, memories and meanings behind picture postcards and where we can to tell those stories. I'm Tom Jackson. Today I'm delighted to say my guests are traveller and travel writer Lois Price and comedian and broadcaster Robin Ince. Lois and Robin, welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
And Lois Price is a proper traveller, an adventurer. She likes to up sticks, roar off on a motorbike to somewhere exotic, and then come back and write about it before roaring off again somewhere else. Her travels have taken her the length of the Americas. She's dodged landmines as she biked Africa top to bottom. She's driven across the USA with a sidecar and a husband, and most recently through Iran, an at times perilous journey chronicled in her excellent new book, Revolutionary Ride. Lois comes to us today with a postmark from Datchet, watery postmark.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she spends a lot of her time living on a boat.
Indeed.
Lois, do you still send postcards?
Oh, very much so. I'm a big postcard sender. I think the last one I sent was to my mum, actually, or maybe to a friend. But always as a thank you for having dinner somewhere or my mum helping me out with some gardening or something. So I sent her a Persian Islamic art kind of tile picture. So, yeah.
And had you picked up a lot of postcards in Iran?
I collect them everywhere I go. Yeah, so I've got lots of Iranian postcards, which are great, yeah.
I suppose you can't buy many things when you're travelling on a bike, so postcards maybe fit the bill?
Well, postcards are great for that reason, but I did buy a real tile in Iran, which was about a foot square, it weighed a ton, and I had it in my panniers for the whole trip.
Good Lord. Did you find yourself leaning to one side?
You're meant to travel like that's always my advice to motorcycle travellers, but I was ignoring my own advice. But it's a beautiful thing, and it's now at home.
Very nice. Now, Robin Ince, as you're well aware, is an award-winning stand-up comedian. Spent much of the last decade bravely attempting to make sense of some of the most difficult ideas in science, frequently in the presence of some of the cleverest scientists in the world, as host, along with Professor Brian Cox, of the hugely popular Infinite Monkey Cage on Radio 4. For many years, Robin was known for his book club nights. We'd read out excerpts from randomly found books. And he's long been resident in this world, the world of podcasts, presenting Book Shambles with Josie Long and Vitriola Music with Michael Legg. But Robin's latest project is a book, I'm a Joke and So Are You. An aggressive title, isn't it? I'm a Joke and So Are You. In which he attempts to see if the rest of humanity suffer the same neuroses, anxieties and existential crises so publicly exhibited by comedians. And Robin comes to us today bearing a dragged ink postmark from venues up and down the country where he plies his trade.
It is, yeah. I have no real... It does feel like No Fixed Abode, which, of course, I think was actually... Wasn't the goodies on the postcards that used to appear in their books, such as The Goodies File and The Goodies Book of Criminal Records. I think they would say it would be Cricklewood, No Fixed Abode, Cricklewood.
Yeah.
So that bit of every morning waking up and kind of seeing if you can work out by feeling the bed linen where you are when you know it's not your... You know, that same way as also... I think Edgar Allan Poe might appear on my postmark because I have that kind of common thing of... When when you... I don't know if you ever went, actually, when you're travelling a lot and you are using small hotels, you walk into a room and you go, what noise? What noise is there here? Which is barely noticeable now, but at one in the morning, the beating heart of the near-sacrificed hotelier is under the floorboards.
It's working out how the lights work that gets me every time in a hotel.
Oh, there's some very modern ones. Glasgow Comedy Festival, I did that with Michael Legg, and we stayed in this hotel which was too modern, which was all, it was all button involved, everything, the curtains, mm-hmm. the television, the shower.
I know.
And after that year, the promoters of the gig, the Stand Comedy Club in Glasgow, said, yeah, we're not going to put anyone over 30 in those hotels. So the over 30, every single over 30 year old went, I have no idea how this hotel room works.
Yeah, I've had to call the reception and ask for instructions. Yeah.
It's a room. It shouldn't be that hard.
How do I turn the room on? The room itself, I can't even turn off.
So, Robin, when did you last send a postcard?
Oh, last one. I think the last one would have been about 6 weeks ago when I was in Vancouver. And I generally send... I mean, I try and do it. I have such a ridiculous... Like the week after we've recorded this, I'm doing Penarth, Bristol, Edinburgh, Toronto, Folkestone.
Wow.
And sometimes on weeks like that, I do try and send a postcard from each place. But it's the hardest thing in a lot of countries is finding post boxes. You find that they're... New Zealand, I couldn't find any. And then I got to the airport and they were all there. It was as if they just said, where should we put the post? We'll just put them all in Wellington Airport. That will be fine.
That's quite sensible, really.
Yeah.
The last point.
But I have a son who's 10 years old. So, for instance, when I'm in Edinburgh during the Fringe Festival, I try and send a postcard every single day with something. And then I sometimes forget who I'm writing to, because my wife, when you signed one of them, Robin Ince, in the way that I would sign a book, not Dad, Robin Ince, there we
That's
are.
That's when the showbiz has gone too far.
Yeah. Who should I make it out to? I'm your son.
Do you sign your book,
just
Dad, ever?
To son? Yeah.
Yeah, that's like calling the school teacher Mum, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, before we discover the cards that Robin and Lois have brought along today, I'll give you a quick one of mine. This is, of course, a postcard from the past card, like I do on Twitter, a past postcard, an old card from which I've selected just a bit of the message. So the card is of Goodrington Sands, which I believe is in South Devon. It's a nice picture, actually.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see yourself there?
Absolutely.
I love it.
There's a
colour.
Chap at the front who's kind of rather... displaying himself a bit oddly, but luckily the card is cut at just the right place.
It's an odd cut of card. I mean, that's what I find very interesting, because that's a slightly smaller than average postcard, isn't it?
This is how they tended to be in the 60s, I think. It's a smaller one, yeah.
That must have been a bigger picture, surely, because you wouldn't cut the legs off there.
No, they've cropped it really oddly, I think.
There must have been a reason for it, I think.
Well, probably his modesty.
Yes. Yeah.
And this was actually sent in 1970, and it was sent to Bristol. Now, the message that I wanted to look at. Oh, very simple, yes. Today, we went mackerel fishing at Brixham. Bill caught about 6 fish, but I didn't bother because I didn't like seeing them wriggle.
That's exactly what happened when I was in St Ives, and my wife and son went, let's go mackerel fishing, right? I'm vegetarian, and my wife predominantly so, right? And I said, are you sure? I'm not really that keen. They went, yeah, let's go. And then, you know, you throw out, I'm sure you see, you know, there's multiple hooks with bits of glitter on, and then the wriggling thing comes up, and you pull the hook out of its, you know, guts and its neck. And they immediately went, oh, I didn't know it was going to be like this. I said, as someone who doesn't eat, I had explained this was going to happen.
I'm with you, I'm vegetarian,
this is
and
how,
I couldn't.
How it works.
No.
But I then did kill loads of them. One, because I think I've built up, you know, by not killing things, by being a vegetarian, I'm allowed every now and again to splash out and really kill loads of stuff.
Right.
And,
in your sadism reserves.
Yeah, and I'm able to go up a species each time, so watch out, humans.
It's quite a big step between mackerels and humans, though.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll be saving up that.
Thank you for reminding him. We're in quite a small room
here. 10 years of veganism before I'm allowed to do that. But, you know, I love that. Of course, they are, you know, I didn't like it either, but I thought this guy's... And then he went, do you want to take some to eat? And they were like, no! I went, we've killed them all.
You might as well. Yeah, so the wriggling did for them, and it did for you. Well, it did for your family. Very good.
I found I had a new bloodlust.
Yeah, it's the wriggling that appealed to you. So, remind you at home, images of all the cards, including the chap who's been disporting himself on the beach, are on the website, which is podcastfromthepast.co.uk, so you can investigate for yourself and see that we're not making it up. Now, Lois and Robin have come to the studio today with rather more postcards than I expected, which is terrific. Lois, start me off. What have you got? What's this large box in front of you?
I've got a big box, which is actually full...
Good God.
...of homemade postcards. Oh. Of all sorts of strange things. We've got the Who. We've got some paintbrushes on
there
one.
There is love
in
this
work. Oh, this is a good one. An old MasterCard manual machine.
Yeah, as you would put on a postcard.
Do you want to describe that one, gentlemen? Or
The Who one's interesting, because that looks to me almost like Brian Jones.
Yeah, I think it is on the left. Yeah.
So it looks like Townsend and...
From the Rock and Roll Circus, maybe? Oh, no, it looks earlier than that.
Oh, my goodness. Flats in seconds. Yeah. Oh.
I should... that's a well-developed lady with a puncture repair kit, shall we say. These are all from my husband during our courting days. He's a maths teacher. Well, he was a maths teacher, so I don't know what all these things mean. But there's a very varied...
What an amazing thing to do. So he was making cards for you?
Make cards, and he'd send them to me at my work and where I used to live, and he would write poems on some of them.
And at no stage did you find this sense,
right? Yeah. Motorcycle.
How to Steal the World. With Dan O'Herlihy. Oh, I won't read them because they were... Motorpsycho.
Some of them might not be safe for podcast. Is that such a thing?
It's Motorpsycho.
Well, they went through the post. The postman saw them.
Motorpsycho's up there with Russ Mayer.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
A Russ Mayer movie. And Psychomania, which is one of my favourites, which I would have brought... I have a postcard of that. Psychomania's the Hell's Angels movie where Nicky Henson realises that if they all kill themselves, they can come back as everlasting zombies, but are eventually turned into a stone circle, I think, by his mum, Beryl Reed.
I've seen
and
it.
The butler, George Sanders, who George Sanders then went on to kill himself, writing a note saying that he thinks he's done pretty much everything now. And I can't help but believe Psychomania's included in that. These are brilliant.
We've got an advert for oxtail soup.
And some of these have an elliptical allusion to your motorcycling, doesn't they?
Yes, there's definitely some motorcycle ones and some travel-y ones, and there's a globe. So, these are the, you know...
So from this... When he stopped stalking you with postcards... And presumably it's much easier to get some kind of restraint order nowadays. But so from this collection, what have you chosen to share more specifically?
Well, yes, exactly. So I brought these as more of a backstory because homemade postcards were such a big part of our life. And then when I rode from London to Cape Town, I got to Cape Town after 4 months travelling across the Sahara and Angola and the Congo, and it was a very dramatic, exciting journey. So I was motorcycling solo on a little 250 dirt bike, and I got to the Cape of Good Hope, and I got some South African rugby players to take a photo of me. They were there at the same time.
Chose well.
So yes, they're not the most enlightened of gentlemen. But they snapped this picture of me, and it's a photo of me sitting on my bike, a bit grubby, and it's got the Cape of Good Hope sign in the background, and you can see the sea, and it's the point where the Indian Ocean meets the Atlantic Ocean, so it's a very...
So you really have...
I've really got to the very
bottom. You've achieved
your bottom.
Goal.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then I went into Cape Town for a few days, and rather than, you know, go to Table Mountain or the Nelson Hotel and have cocktails, I went around stationery shops buying Pritt stick and cardboard.
That is exactly what I'd have done.
And made a card to send home to my husband. So I went to a 24-hour photo place, got this photo printed out, stuck it on the postcard, on the cardboard, and sent it home.
So this is kind of the reciprocal card.
Yeah, to all of that. Exactly.
That Robin is hiding behind now. It's a huge pile.
So great. Because you've also got, you were saying you live on a boat, and Jenny Laird in Painted Boats, the Ealing poster, Ealing Films, very, you know, traditional kind of, and that which I think has just been re-released, is a fascinating thing.
These are all pressing cultural buttons for you, aren't they?
Yes, well, I think, yeah, you and... Austin, my husband, probably have a lot to talk about in films and books and music. And yeah, this is a good one, isn't it? Some kind of weird guy with a mullet giving someone a massage. I mean, I don't know where that's from.
Where did he get all the images from?
Oh, he
magazines?
Yeah, hoarder of old magazines and...
He wasn't living on a boat.
This is a whole other podcast. Yeah, he had to have a bit of a clear out when we moved on to our boat. We got a bigger biggest boat.
You had to get a bigger boat,
but then
as they say.
Exactly. So, yeah, I could legitimately quote from Jaws when we moved in together. And he obviously has lots of sheds now, and yeah.
And have you made a habit of sending homemade cards, or is that the only one that you did?
No, I would also send him cards, but mine were more elaborate, and they were cards, as in folding cards, rather than postcards, and I would sort of have moving parts on them and things like that. So it was.
So this is the romance of the post, though, isn't it?
It really is. It really is, yeah. And actually, I was looking through these the other day and Austin wistfully said, oh, I wish you still had an address that I could send you things to. Because obviously when you live together, it's kind of not,
oh, I see what you
not
mean,
quite
yes.
the same. Because if you look at the addresses
Robin manages,
on them.
He leaves home all the time.
Yeah, that too. We do
it
both
can lead to
a
very happy relationship when you're merely a concept as opposed to a physical reality.
Let's get back to those days when we didn't know each other very well.
But some of these addresses are 80 Wood Lane, which any BBC employee will know. Oh, there you go, BBC Records. I used to work at BBC Music, the record label of the BBC.
Ah.
Because I had to leave because I worked on Bob the Builder, and that was a kind of...
You had to leave because they kicked you out?
No, because my soul was crushed by that experience.
Oh, Bob was it?
Yeah, Bob just did it for me. And that was really the catalyst for my first long-distance motorcycle trip, which was from Alaska to Argentina.
You really didn't like Bob the Builder.
Yeah, I can't remember. Easy Rider. Peter Fonda's working on Bagpuss, isn't he? And that's the reason that he... Yeah, I'd forgotten the...
You see?
Actually, you wouldn't leave if it was Bagpuss,
no,
would you?
No,
you
wouldn't.
Yeah.
No, well, but, Mary Mungo and Midge.
Yeah, when you've got a gold disc on the wall and it's Bob the Builder. It wasn't all like that. I was working on radiophonic workshop stuff, which was great. Peel sessions and all that. So that was... It was anything that the BBC wanted to put out on a CD at that time. It was, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. So there was a lot of fun, but the Bob Builder thought, I thought, no. And I just passed my motorcycle test and the two things came together. And
when it's time to go, it's time to go on any job.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It was a good job. It was fine. But
you feel like you've... It's when you see it coming around again. You think, oh, I did that last year.
Yes, exactly.
Perhaps I don't need to do it again. It
and
won't
you
get,
never
won't get
better.
That
on the road. That is the joy. You wake up every morning, you don't know where you're going to sleep that night.
So you're always hungry for a new experience, a new vista, right?
Yeah, I don't think I would do any real long-distance solo bike stuff now, but I'm always thinking about the next adventure. I'm thinking sailing next.
Really?
Yeah.
You're changing your mode of transport?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Have a go at something else. But I'll always ride. I mean, I've got bikes and, you know, it's a great way to see the world and it's a great way to meet people.
But also, you didn't expect to go to Iran until you met someone in the street.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you're kind of open to those things,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I like it to be impulsive if I can.
Very good. Well, thank you for sharing that card with us, especially with, and this kind of hoard of...
I know.
But they're valuable. You wouldn't want to lose them.
Because I used to do a show called Book Club, and it was me reading out from weird books that I'd found and then having various different kind of strange variety acts doing things. And these two are, because the Fiery Furnace, which your partner originally sent you the cover of that as a postcard, and then he sent this one, which is the Fiery Furnace. This must be the intro page to lure you in. Pyromania. Handsome, talented, intelligent, witty. John Tarrant should have been a success, but behind the enviable facade there lurked a fierce and dangerous compulsion which could erupt at any minute. A monstrous need which he had already caused him to cripple his brother for life, destroyed his own career as a Hollywood star, impaled him on the hooks of a relentless blackmailer, and now threatened to drive away the only person who could ever save him, the woman he loved.
Oh.
Now read on, and I will.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And to be honest, having read both your books this weekend, I think that's what your prose is lacking.
Yeah.
That real pulp punch.
You're right.
Do you know what? That's very much what the editor almost... Because when you were saying about the Jaws thing, that's exactly the first draft of my book was about 120,000 words too long, and it was a kind of editor going, we're going to need a bigger editor. But this one, fascinating. New readers. Pierre, a Breton onion seller, is staying with the parents of Bob. The sixer of Red Six Bartholomew joins the Red Six. Some teddy boys tear Bart's coat after one pack meeting, so Bob accompanies Bart home. They meet the teddy boys in a scuffle. I don't know what this is about. I don't know if it's a parody or not, but it's wonderful.
I think it's real.
And it's illustrated with a bunch of garlic.
The onions of the onion cellar. Yeah, the Breton onions.
I confess I haven't read this in detail and memorised it.
What worries me is the onions are the thing that may well get in the way of the only thing that could save him. The woman he loves, who hates onions.
Actually, my husband's a huge onion eater.
Oh.
Right, OK.
Well, funnily enough, it's not just Lois who's brought a kind of bumper pack of cards. Robin's also brought in one of his trademark plastic bags.
Yes.
And the name of this game is What's in Your Plastic Bag, Robin?
Well, this is... My wife did once say, you do know you're one of those men who's going to be found dead surrounded by carrier bags full of stuff. And I think she was correct.
Threat?
It really did feel like a threat. What I did was I thought... I haven't got some of my favourite postcards from when I was a kid. I have got them, but I can't find them. They're now
for Series 3.
So I've got about 2,500, I think, postcards from the last 10 years, which have notes of shows that I'm trying to write. So every different show that I write is, sometimes it's just a heap of postcards that I've got from art gallery. Sometimes, like here, I've got one of the postcards from Penguin Boxes.
Which is so popular.
And they did so well. And I've just got, I don't know which show this was that I was working on. So at the top, I put a little note of what section of the show this might be. So this might be in the frippery section. This is Idea 47. David Hume toyed with idea comets were sperm or eggs making planets, the universe having sex with itself. So there we go. That was going to possibly turn into a routine.
Definitely one of your shows.
Definitely one of my show. Cadbury's Natural Selection. Oh, this actually did
Cadbury's Natural
become...
Selection.
That became... I remember that became a joke because it was about... I saw Ann Coulter, the journalist, was doing a thing... a documentary called... which subtitle was No Darwin, No Hitler. And at one point they said, Darwin and Hitler were very similar because Darwin used the word selection and so did Hitler. And then that became a joke about, but so do Cadbury's. And a whole thing about this kind of, fascistic selection of nougat.
That one did turn into
the death drive, this just says. We are anticipatory animal. On the plus side, it means we prepare things on the day. Waitrose essential trifle. So somewhere along the line, that was going to turn into something about anticipatory nature of various different notes about evolution, the big questions, why are we here, will matter be antimatter, why am I here when you pause, I don't know what that was going to be about. There's something
they're,
about
they're more articulate than I thought they were going to be, these, because
well, actually
are,
I'm quite surprised
there.
Because this is because I literally grabbed a box, I decided I would surprise myself, and I'm not nearly as methodical, or haven't been for the last 8 years, so I reckon this must be about 12 years ago. This must have been a show I did then,
before the habits built.
Because, and then
the
it did just become five words.
And are these written in bed in the middle of the night, or do you sit at your desk with them all laid out?
No, I would grab a few from the box, I would stick them in my satchel, and then when I come up with an idea, and the reason was, I thought this is a much better way of doing a show, because if you have a notebook, you have to keep scribbling through the notebook,
yes.
Whereas this, I could sometimes, if I was trying out a new show, I would grab a heap of cards, I would put them in some kind of order, and sometimes the audience, I would say, you just tell me which pile you want me to take a card from,
and then
see what would happen.
Presumably, it's the reordering that this is perfect for.
You can change
things around so quickly.
I'm really surprised at how... I'm genuinely shocked by how methodical this is.
Perhaps it was a different person.
Aldous Huxley, I do like this quote, is there any knowledge in the world so certain that no reasonable man can doubt it? Which, in the times that we live now, is probably as... do you know what? Whatever this show was going to be, I might write it
yes,
now.
Yes,
I don't
great.
Know.
I'm loving it.
It seems like there's... Stanley Milgram, I was going to do some stuff about him in the show. This must have been... I reckon this would have been like my third stand-up show where I was doing even more about science. So about 13, 14 years ago, I started doing science stuff. But yeah, that's the... I'm sorry they make so much sense. Hopefully these make less sense, because I picked up these other ones, which were Waiting for Colour Vision. This is on a postcard of, who's this one? James Joyce.
Very good.
And I never worked out how to do this. It was the idea of the fact that colour vision evolved and the idea of being the last animal down the street, which still only had black and white vision, and having the kind of envy. But I never tried that out.
There's life in that.
What's that one? That's Virginia Woolf's The Common Reader. Parties, everybody's talking, no one hears a word. I don't know what that was going to turn into. A tape postcard of John Baldessari exhibition. I enjoyed that exhibition. So life is stressful. So I just got. I don't know what. More Baldessari. They must have all been in that pile. I do believe in some sort of energy. It stands to reason. That was just a direct quote from someone who was quite New Age, and that became a 15-minute rant. But I'm a lot more
from
positive
one card.
Now.
That's good.
Yeah, and then this one is what exhibition was this? Someone. This is a kind of topless woman experimental photo, nude torso by Lee Miller.
Yes.
And that one. I never wrote
no
one.
No notes at all.
No.
What does that say? It must have been, oh, I got distracted by the nudity. Oh, dear.
Looking at the wrong side. Yeah.
Smug atheist versus smug... I don't know what that was about. That was... That's on a William Blake. Yeah, so I find it quite fun. I haven't picked these up. I'm genuinely now quite excited that I thought I had to really come up with a load of new ideas for a new show. But it turns out I'm just going to go through all this. I might do that because some people, oddly enough, some of my shows are very, very long. And sometimes people go, I'd like to do like a 24-hour version. And now I've opened this up, and this is your fault. I blame myself. One day, I will go through the postcards beforehand because I'll have to refresh my memory. But I'll go through I'll pick 1,000 of them and then just place them in a position and we'll try and work out some kind of show.
You don't file these at all. You don't have any filing system.
They literally go in a corner.
That makes me feel anxious, you see. I love order.
Now you could...
I'm the opposite. My wife loves it. That is a really problematic thing.
Well, that's brilliant. Thank you for sharing this insight into your working practices, Robin. It's reassuring that postcards have such a practical value for you. Now, let's have one more card of mine quickly. This is a black and white card of St. David's Cathedral. Extraordinarily dramatic picture, actually, considering it's just a picture of a cathedral.
Again, that's M.R. James all out and looking at the
quite
water.
Sinister.
Yes. Creepy, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good card, that. With a nice deckle edge on it, which is always nice. Makes you feel like you're eating waffles or something. Or pancakes. And this card is from 1964. Looks older, actually, doesn't it? And it's sent to Nailsea near Bristol. If I couldn't make a better picture than this, I'd sell my camera and buy a gramophone.
Oh, that's great.
How rude.
A quick question, Tom. Do you think handwriting has got worse over the years? This looks incredibly neat, doesn't it?
I know mine has.
Yes, mine has too.
But I think handwriting definitely goes through phases. I'm sure people have written doctorates on this. But you know how sort of thin and vertical it was at the beginning of the 20th century? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until the 80s that you start seeing big round letters. Slightly childish. Yes. But you never saw that.
But this is italicized,
this is early
it?
60s kind of good writing. It's a little bit hard to read. Mm-hmm. But it's clearly good writing. If it wasn't in English, I think it was a foreign handwriting, but it is English. There you are. But yes, that's... we'll have to get an expert on handwriting.
Yes.
Orthography into this room.
We know it's an arrogant, small-minded human being who believes their photography is perhaps better than it truly is.
And I like the idea that because you didn't take a good photograph, you're going to buy a gramophone. That's not entirely logical.
I think he's literally saying, do you know what had happened to me? I'd end up listening to pop music. That's how trite I'd become, pop music.
64, well, there's a lot of good music around
there.
Exactly,
yeah, great.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Podcasts from the Past, the Postcard Podcast, and my guests today are comedian Robin Ince and travel writer Lois Price. Now, in honour of you, Robin, and your work on the Infinite Monkey Cage. I've got something different, actually. I recently rediscovered what I think is the first postcard I ever bought with my own pocket money. And now, this is not entirely a coincidence. It is a picture of a monkey in a cage. So this was a card I bought, and it, I knew I had it. I only found it recently in a drawer. And I remember buying it, and I remember writing on the back. So it's a little chimpanzee in a zoo. It's in Cromer Zoo. And so I wrote on the back. I must have been about 8 years old, probably. Billy the Kid, open brackets, chimpanzee, close brackets, Cromer Zoo. Played games, but was really feisty. Now, I think I meant fierce, but foolish child that I was.
Aww. Cromer's doesn't have a zoo anymore, does it?
I don't know.
I don't have Cromer. That's lovely little, yes.
But very, a bit priggish, really, this idea that don't be fooled by the fact that he appears to be playful. I think probably my mother had said, don't go too close. I know he looks like he's playing games, but he's really feisty.
You could have been the Jane Goodall of your generation. Because, of course, you know, that's what I find fascinating. Again, even this picture of a chimpanzee, that, you know, what we knew about ape behaviour then is, you know, this would have been the time, I imagine, that Jane Goodall would have been finding out that so many things we didn't know about. You know, if you were lucky, you might have seen, you know, some chimpanzee cannibalism in Cromer Zoo.
Yes. Yeah, I think I was just... I like the name Billy the Kid. I'm sure of that. And I thought, he's playful. This is going to be great. And no, no. It's. I was told he's really fierce. Lois, back to our proper cards. What's the second card you've got for us today?
Right, my second one is something I picked up in an American junk shop a few years ago. And I would say it's probably 1930s. It's kind of got Gothic writing. It's very small.
It's on lovely green paper.
It's on this beautiful sort of soft khaki green paper. It's two-colour print. In black and a kind of luminous orange, actually, which is quite odd.
It looks like a woodcut.
It does, yeah, yeah.
Wood, it's unsophisticated as a printing technique.
And it's an image of a sort of stout old lady with her sleeves rolled up on the grindstone, I assume sharpening a knife. And she's working very hard and focusing on the job in hand. And the text just says, something is going to happen. And this is my equivalent of, you know, the horrible leaping dolphin or the yoga pose on top of a mountain, the inspirational quote that we might have got in office jobs that we may have had once upon a time. This is my own personal equivalent. So that's in my office in front of me when I'm tapping away at my books or articles or whatever it is. And it's just a little reminder that you just got to keep plodding away.
And you take that message to be positive.
I do.
Something's going to happen.
I do.
It's not a warning.
Oh, no. No, I never thought of it like that.
She is sharpening a knife.
Right. That's an interesting different way of looking at it. I never saw it like that.
Yeah.
To me, it says...
I think you're fundamentally being positive before you've even looked at it. So it's just a confirming
it's just
your outlook.
Yeah, exactly. And that, I think, well, I'm sure Robin may remember from his early days, but as a freelancing writing kind of person, a lot of your time is spent alone in a room hoping that something is going to happen, and you just have to keep grinding away at that stone, you know?
Yes, and of course, if you want it to happen, you have to make it happen.
Exactly. So, yeah.
But you are right. This is a very... Because her face is not dissimilar to Cesar Romero's... Joker,
yes.
and something kind of malevolent about it. Yeah, that is. There's a lot of stories in that. There's a lot of ways that first line could take us into the main.
Do you see that as positive, or do you think, oh, something's going to happen? You know, is it scary to you?
It's not scary, but it's the fact that because it's sharpening an axe, something is going to happen.
I think there is a double meaning.
Yeah,
or a double. A double sense of how that something is going to be. Maybe it's sort of old-fashioned, sort of homespun American humour, really sort of,
yeah,
you know, kind of folksy American humour.
Yeah.
Or a tiresome group of men's rights activists. You know, once you give the women an axe, the next thing you know,
something's happened. Well, and that's sitting over your desk?
Right in front of me. I've got a pin board in front of my desk on the wall, and it's right at my eye line.
So you're staring
idly
ahead of you for some inspiration, and that's there always to remind you.
Absolutely, yes. I'm very fond of her. I see her as a friend, and you know, she's a good, hard-working woman.
I've never seen anything like that before.
No, nor me.
I think it's very interesting. Very good. So, Robin, You've bucked a few systems here. What's the second card you've got for us? This is something huge.
Well, we both, to be fair, we've both dragged around a lot of stuff. I have, mine is
and
currently...
And it's all appreciated. It's all appreciated.
When I was 12, or just about to be 13, I was an enormous fan of horror films. I hadn't really seen many, but I bought Alan Frank's Horror Movies book when I was 8, and then that became an obsession. The imagery, it was the imagery of the Universal movies and the Hammer movies and Amicus and all of those things. And I was in London one day with my dad, and I went into a phone box and I looked through the phone directory and I found one Karloff. And I thought, chances are that will be... probably Boris Karloff's widow, Mrs. Boris Karloff. So I wrote to her, which was, I can say this address because she is no longer, she lived at 29 Sheffield Terrace, London W8. And I wrote to her and she sent me back a little postcard of Karloff in the full Frankenstein makeup to Robin Ince with best wishes from Evelyn Karloff. And she sent me a letter with it as well, which was just wishing me good luck at school. That didn't work out. And saying that she was going to go back to... California at the end of the month, and some little. She said, "Thank you very much for your nice letter and good wishes. I'm so glad to learn you find. I think that's you find joy in my husband's films. Val Luton. I must have written about Val Luton. Yes. I must have been watching Isle of the Dead or Body Snatcher or something like that. Such an intelligent man and good director. And it was sad he died so early. It is perceptive of you to see through the makeup and." See how unlike most of the film roles my husband was. He was a very kind and gentle man with a great sense of humour. And she just sent me this. And so this was, and as a kind of, you know, one of the outsider kids, right? I mean, this is, in the same way that people like Mark Gatiss and the whole of the league, all that bunch, you know, these were the things. If you were a little bit, you know, askew as a young person, horror was one of the things that lured you in, all of these images of imagination. And so it was an amazing, and this has been lost for over 20 years. This was, we always wondered where it was. And then my mum died about 3 years ago. And while my dad was sorting through things, he said, "You won't believe what I found." And and then as a surprise, got it framed in this kind of frame, which is done in the style as if it was a dungeon door keeping the monster inside. But you know, it was such an important thing. You know, all of those bits when you do feel that you're on the outside, to get this kind of connection to someone, you know, like Boris Karloff, was just it was a lovely thing. And I'm so glad that he eventually found it again.
It's a fantastic thing.
Beautiful, isn't it?
But it was, and I find it. I did a show in Edinburgh this year, which I might resuscitate, just called The Satanic Rites of Robin Ince, and it was about horror. And it was really some of the conversations that I had with people and how important, and also the otherness of it, in the same way that Doctor Who had this ability, and perhaps still has this ability, in fact, which is when you would see someone like Ernest Thesiger or Colin Clive in those movies, it would show you other forms of humanity that were not merely the alpha male and the kind of, you know, the unfortunately, it still was predominantly the perpetual fainting female. But apart from Una O'Connor, who was wonderful, always screaming, played the, she was in Invisible Man, amongst other things. And she screams a lot when she sees the Frankenstein monster in Bride of Frankenstein suddenly come out. But, you know, James Whale, Colin Clive, you know, these were people who were gay as well. And, you know, James Whale didn't conceal it that much, you know, concealed it as much as he had to. And I think all of those things, you know, there's certain stories that you can find in them which become more than the story being told in the film.
I think it's fantastic. It reminds me of writing letters to famous people for autographs as a child as well. Rather a solitary thing to do, and rather a slightly sad thing to do in a way. You're sending out these missives. I would go into the library, the public library, and there'd be a who's who, and it had people's agents' addresses. And I'd write to, I don't know, Spike Milligan, Ken Dodd. And I want their autograph. Did I want their autograph, or did I just want to make a connection?
Did you get letters back ever?
Nearly always, right. Yeah, no, people were very, very good.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I think when I got the letters back, it was, oh, that's nice, and it went in a shoebox. But I think little boys get a bit lost, and they kind of like, they're always looking for these connections, and especially with things that they think are, in some way, sympathetic souls. Some connection that just helps them find their way in the world.
I think it may be more of a male thing, because I don't relate to that particularly. I mean, I suppose I like dead people, so I would have written to Buddy Holly or something like that when I was a teenager, which would have been hopeless.
I've got a letter back.
Robin's halfway there with Boris Karloff.
My husband is a huge Spaghetti Western fan. He's got a sick bag with Clint Eastwood's signature and a little message on it, and he still got it to this day.
Wow, that's
I've got
thing.
A Mark of the Devil sick bag, which was the Herbert Lom kind of cheap version of the Witchfinder General. I've got a pristine sick bag.
Witchfinder General was the music we walked up the aisle to at our wedding, which people found quite odd.
Goodness.
But yeah, it's a beautiful piece of music.
So was there a promotional sick bag?
Yeah, Mark of the Devil was with Reginalda, amongst others, was going to be the most terrifying film of and Udo Kier, who was a wonderful actor, who was in Andy Warhol's Flesh for Frankenstein and Blood for Dracula, and is very. But it's interesting that because a male female thing. The thing that interests me is though also things like Hermione from Harry Potter, mm-hmm. the importance of that connection. You know, if you've ever gone to the Harry Potter world, the number of and sometimes you know teenagers as well. It's not just you know young kids who she is seen. As and in the same way as I think you know the new Doctor Who as well, these the incredible role models and this connection that gets made. You know, you see a 14-year-old and they're dressed up as Hermione from Harry Potter, and then of course what she herself as an actor is now saying about you know talking about that those connections. Those
so you're
pop
saying that it wasn't
connections.
So much that it's not a female not, thing; yeah, it's that there not. Weren't such interesting oddball role models
Maybe.
For girls.
Because my role models were all male and musicians, mostly guitar players. Yeah, banjo.
Oh, by chance. Interesting you should say that. Well, this is fantastic. Thank you so much. The pair of you have put in so much. You've done your homework well. You know, you must have been good at school, the amount of homework you've done for me. This is really brilliant. Thank you. I mean, thank you so much for sharing your cards with me and the listeners. Quick reminder for everyone at home. Images of the cards that we have talked about will all be on the website, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, so you can see the pictures. And that includes this last one from me, which is in the past postcard style, which you may be familiar with from Twitter or from the book. And this card is very snazzy font there for Bournemouth.
Oh, yes.
That's like the front of a Cadillac or something, Bournemouth. But rather off, it doesn't look so good set against that sort of dung brown.
That must have been, though, the equivalent of, and then we'll have a gold edge. And then they go, are you sure that's, you know that kind of, it's more dung brown. No, it's a kind of dungy gold.
Goldy-dungy.
Yeah, and they signed it off on a Friday afternoon. So this card comes from 1985. Well, we've definitely moved into the
80s.
Your
80s, that is, yeah.
And in fact, the card message that I've chosen to look at is, it's kind of the 80s in Is that you put the 80s inside a snow globe, and it says, stayed in last evening and watched Murder, She Wrote. Dad went downstairs and had drink, but I did not feel like one, so had a cup of tea in my bedroom.
Brilliant.
Do you need
Using
more?
Using the teas made, I hope.
I hope so. Yeah, I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it.
But Murder, She Wrote, there's a certain form of television where you can understand why it's so enormous, because there's something very comfortable at 7 in the evening just going, oh, well, let's just watch Murder, She Wrote. Oh, look, Tom Bosley's in this one as the sheriff. And
for this woman, whose name I can tell you was Mum, this woman, she's gone on holiday to Bournemouth, presumably in a guest house or a hotel. So that's why Dad's gone downstairs to the bar downstairs. But Mum stayed in the room with a colour television and watch Murder, She Wrote. I mean, I don't know, that's a good holiday. I think it probably is a pretty good holiday.
I think it is. When I've been travelling and I find a hotel and it's got cable TV and you're in, you know, Costa Rica or some place and you get a Murder, She Wrote, it is a joy. And then sometimes...
Yeah, but that's when you're trying to recover from the culture clash going on in your head and the foreign language. She's in Bournemouth. Murder, She Wrote is not a respite from Bournemouth, surely.
At least she wouldn't be disappointed to find out I'd been dubbed, which was often the case with me.
You'll never find out who did it. Murder, She Dubbed. Lois, you've got one little extra card you've snuck in, which is going to lead us into something else. So what's the story?
The card is actually some sheet music called Cheyenne. And I bought it because my first boat that I ever bought was when I was about 21. I decided to buy a narrowboat, and I found a nice little boat, and it was called Home Sweet Home. And obviously, I couldn't bear to live on a boat with such a twee name. And I'm a big bluegrass fan, and I play the banjo. And one of my favourite instrumentals is by Bill Monroe, and it's called Cheyenne. So I named my boat Cheyenne. And then many, many years later, when I was riding from Alaska down to Argentina, I stopped in at the Gene Autry Museum,
ooh,
which is my all-time favourite museum. It's absolutely wonderful. In Los
Angeles.
The
Singing Cowboy.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got this, well, dedicated this museum to American West. And I picked up this postcard there because it's called Cheyenne. And I was like, oh, that's the name of my boat. So
That cowboy connection is going to take us to your banjo. But what are you going to play?
I'm not going to play Cheyenne, actually, because it's more of a fiddle tune, really.
You need to get another postcard.
Yeah, I know.
It's all gone wrong.
I'm going to play a tune called Lazy John.
Oh, very good. As Lois continues to pluck away on her banjo delightfully, that's it for this time on Podcasts from the Past. I'd very much like to thank my first-class guests for sharing the postcards from their pasts, Lois Price and Robin Ince. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Bye for now. See more postcards with their messages posted every day on Twitter. Do follow me at Past Postcard. And you can buy the book, Postcard from the Past, by me, Tom Jackson, at Amazon and all good booksellers. And if you're looking for podcast production, check out wardourstudios.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.